It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. We'll do a show.
I guess that's the way it works, Kyle.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Yeah, man. No, it's just like... Obviously, we had Damian Barling in for the last half hour yesterday, and Damian's tweets at the very end of our show really got the ball rolling on all this De'Aaron Fox trade stuff. Mm-hmm. First, he said the Sacramento Kings are an absolute mess. Then he tweets out that Kings fans need to open their minds to the idea of De'Aaron Fox getting traded. And then about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we get the Shams Charania tweet saying that the Kings are in discussions with teams about possibly trading De'Aaron Fox. So we haven't really gotten a chance to, like, we kind of hypothetically talked about it yesterday because there were, like, whispers, but you never know at this time of year what's real, what's not. So it's like, okay, we're just going to, everything is just.
It's all out there now.
Right. Like, but now it's all out there, and we have to try and kind of wrap our brains around this. So here's what my plan is for today.
Okay.
I want to first try and get our arms around what's going on and reset that. And then I want to try and build out some of these trades and see, like, can is there a way that this benefits the Kings in any way?
Okay.
I don't know that there is. We'll take a dive into some of the teams that are rumored to be. I guess Shams reported on First Take this morning that, like, a dozen teams have called, but we're not going to do a dozen trades. We're going to pick, like, three teams.
Yeah.
And try and put a little trade together and see if it ultimately helps Sacramento. But no updates right now. I guess where we're at is De'Aaron Fox has not requested a trade.
No.
That was not the wording. I believe Sam Amick had the report yesterday that De'Aaron Fox's representation had basically told the Kings, if they're going to trade him, it's better to do so sooner rather than later.
Yes. There was a gentle nudging by Rich Paul and Clutch Sports.
It was a suggestion.
It was a suggestion. And, like, everything I've heard, like, behind the scenes, that the relationship isn't over. That De'Aaron Fox, there is a way in which this, I don't know if it can be fixed.
Sure.
But there is a way in which he stays at least until the summer. Mm-hmm. And there's always a possibility that you catch lightning in a bottle. You make the right moves right now. Mm-hmm. And you go out and convince him that this is a place he should be. I don't think that that's where we're at. We're pretty far down the road of, like, you can't turn back. But, like, hey, stranger things have happened. And De'Aaron doesn't have any ill will towards the city of Sacramento, towards the fan base that he loves, towards all of the people that he is very close with here, restaurant owners, taco truck owners. Like, there is a lot of love here in Sacramento between De'Aaron and the community. He's been here for, like, almost 8 years. You know, again, he's a 2017 draft pick. He showed up here as a 19-year-old kid with Dragon Ball Z spiky hair. And now he's a full-grown adult. And, like, look, these things happen. Like, we're watching Karl Anthony Towns go out there and find all kinds of success with the with the New York Knicks. And, I mean, he was in the same boat. He was with the Timberwolves his whole career. You kind of hope that this isn't the way that it's going to work out, but there is a lot of writing on the wall here. And, you know, the Kings are, they've got to do what's best for themselves as a franchise. And that means field as many phone calls right now as possible.
Sure.
Cat's out of the bag. There's no reason to hide from it now.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and tell everybody, hey, we're getting phone calls all over the place.
All right, we're open for business.
Yeah, that doesn't change the fact that they are kind of in a weird situation.
Yeah, and that's where the fan sentiment here has been really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think De'Aaron necessarily wants out. I don't think it's necessarily that he's like, trade me or I'm never coming back here. It sounds like it's Sacramento and San Antonio. And if the Kings do the right things here at the trade deadline and they start winning games and they go to the second round of the playoffs, they go to the conference finals and they're active again next summer, this could all be water under the bridge.
Yeah, like, I think so. But the problem is you're pretty far down a path. And
no doubt.
Like, they asked for upgrades a month ago, a month plus, and nothing happened.
Yep.
And what that showed you is they didn't take you seriously. They didn't take whatever you went to them and pitched. They didn't take it seriously at the time. Yeah. They can say, oh, no, we did. We listened. Well, you listened, but you didn't do anything. And you didn't do anything until the coach got fired. And, right. And even then, it's like, oh, look, we got a new coach and we're winning. So is that enough? And the answer is no, because you still run up against teams where you just don't have a chance. Mm-hmm. You don't have a chance because somebody hasn't done their job. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, somebody hasn't done their job, so you don't have a chance.
Yep.
You needed a 6'8", 6'9" wing in the offseason. They brought you a 6'6", 35-year-old.
Yep.
And that's not a...
Who doesn't play a ton of defense.
It's not a knock on DeMar DeRozan. That's just what they did. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan's an excellent basketball player, but he's still 6'6" and 35 years old.
Yeah.
And doesn't play... He
didn't fix any of their core problems.
No, no.
And he insulated them from a Malik Monk injury, which derailed them last year.
Yes.
But it didn't fix any of the problems that we've been talking about for a year and a half.
And maybe even created more.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that's where we're at. We're at this situation where, you know, you're as a team, as a player, you have a big decision to make about what the next 5 years of your life looks like.
Yeah, no
maybe
doubt.
Maybe next 6 years of your life looks like.
And you, I'm glad you said it that way. It's your life. It's not necessarily your basketball career. That obviously matters too.
Yeah.
But there are other factors at play for these guys because they're human beings.
Well,
with lives.
Well, there's definitely that. But there's also your legacy as a basketball player.
Sure.
And like, I can't guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure if De'Aaron Fox goes to San Antonio, even though it's a small market, and he is the wingman with Victor Wembanyama, and they're winning games and they're doing crazy stuff, and every night they're on SportsCenter because, oh my gosh, did you see what Victor Wembanyama did?
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox will make multiple All-Star teams, will be on multiple All-NBA teams, and will make the Hall of Fame because of a move like this.
Yep.
And that is a reality. That is not us being like, oh, Sacramento's horrible, or like the fact is he can't get the recognition here, and I get it. Recognition is part of it. Money is part of it. Where you want to live is part of it. But I think we're in for a wild ride here.
Yep.
Over the next week and a half, 2 weeks.
And one of the things I want to make clear. So Sam Amick's tweet yesterday. Source: De'Aaron Fox's agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, recently sent word that it would be wise for the Kings to move him now. Not a trade request. Just nope. Letting him know the trade deadline's coming. We better do it now.
Better do it now.
That's all it was. Wasn't a trade request.
Yeah, that's not what's better for the Kings today.
Right.
But in all honesty, maybe it is.
Sure. And only they know that. People inside the building, people who are around the team every day.
Yep.
The point that I keep coming back to in all this is De'Aaron Fox is not a free agent this offseason. He is a free agent next offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why whatever urgency there might be, and again, maybe it's just this is creating a toxic environment, and no matter what they do, they're not going to win as long as De'Aaron Fox is on the team because it's too awkward. I don't know that. I'm. If that's the case, then that changes the calculus here. But let's assume that's not the case. Let's assume that they're all going to be just totally fine. Hey, everything's cool. Got a game against Philly tonight. Got to go beat Philly. Let's finish out this road trip strong. Got a game coming up against OKC. That's a big one. Let's try and put together a run here. Maybe that's everybody will lock in and that'll be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the belief that this is not a situation where the Kings are just like, hey, whatever offer we can get, the second we're just going to move him. They can afford to sit here and let the bidding war begin. They don't have to trade De'Aaron Fox, especially if he hasn't quote unquote requested a trade.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You're cool being in Sacramento? Great. Then we're going to continue taking calls on every player, including you. And if we get some deal that knocks our socks off, if some team wants to offer us 4 first-round picks and 4 pick swaps and 2 good young players and 2 good young vets and we can expand our rotation and have a potential star or two down the line, great, cool.
Yep.
But until they get that offer that blows them away, I don't think there's any reason to move on from De'Aaron at this point, unless it has just gotten so awkward and weird that it's just not tenable to have a basketball team that he's on.
No, I think Fox is going to do his best to keep that noise outside. And to mm-hmm. be honest, Fox is always somebody who tries to keep the noise outside. That doesn't mean that there isn't noise around him. Mm-hmm. But he himself tries to keep the noise on the outside. And sure. a couple of things. Number one, I think I'm just going to say it right here. People out there who are going on social media and attacking his wife on social media, go to hell. Like, knock that off. That's just ridiculous. That's what bad people do, just so you know. That's what straight up bad people do. Mm-hmm. So that means if you're doing that, you're a bad person. And I think that's universal. Like, don't attack a player's wife on social media because there's a potential for him to leave your franchise.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That's not okay. Secondly, we have a group of in the front office that have got themselves into a situation here. And I just, like, very clearly, they got themselves into a situation.
Yes.
And if you're the Sacramento Kings, if you're ownership, if you're Vivek Ranadive, you need to make sure that that group of people who got you into this situation, straight up, are the ones that you feel comfortable getting you out of this situation.
Yep.
And so it's okay for them to feel calls and to make all this, but at the end of the day, like, you have to make sure that you're doing what's right for you as a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And like, these are, at this point, they're clearly people trying to save their jobs, and they might be able to get you like the greatest deal ever. They still got you into a situation where your star player, which you will not be able to replace in this trade,
mm-hmm.
you will not be able to get a star back in return unless you're getting a washed up franchise killing Jimmy Butler. Like, if you want to go do that, that's fine, but that's not a star anymore. That is a black hole, is what that is. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when a star, like...
Zach LaVine's the closest thing you're going to get, and that comes with a ton of risks.
Well, even that, like, the guy doesn't play defense. He's never won.
Sure.
He's had a blown ACL.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a direct replacement. It's just the closest thing you're going to get.
Probably.
Which is not awesome.
So that's where you need to live in a reality that you're not going to get a star back. But what you need in that case, you need young players. You need the wings that he's been begging for, that De'Aaron Fox has been begging for. Whatever they do, they have to get those either way. Whether you find a replacement for Fox in a trade or not, yeah, that's probably part of the list of things that you want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not on the top of the list. The first thing you got to do is you got to fix your roster that you broke, that you didn't fix already.
And I know De'Aaron's the subject here, so that's the context that you're saying that he asked for.
Yes.
But it's not unreasonable that the star player would be like, hey, can we fix this?
You know who else asked for it?
There's a very clear problem.
I asked for it. I asked for it 3 years ago.
Everybody in the chatty house, everybody listening on the radio, everybody listening on the Odyssey app.
Everybody who watches NBA basketball knows what the problem is with the Sacramento Kings.
1,000%.
Okay. So
it's not... And that's where this is odd, because so often the Jimmy Butler situation, it got weird because of Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler decided to make that weird, and he decided to do that in Minnesota. It's just kind of how he has done this. Brad Beal down in Phoenix is not pushing things, but from what I understand, there's a lot of friction there.
Yeah.
Making it a little weird. We're so used to, and that's recent examples, we're so used to the player being the one that's like, hey, I want out of here. Anthony Davis, when he was in New Orleans and wanted to go to the Lakers, made it super, super awkward.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. I don't think anything that has happened is De'Aaron Fox being unreasonable here.
No, no, no. Like, when Jimmy Butler leaves a franchise, he's the guy in the action film that, as he's walking away from the house, lights a match and throws it backwards, mm-hmm. and the house explodes behind him. That's Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will probably be in action films blowing up houses because that's who he is as a basketball player and as a human.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what De'Aaron Fox is. But the reality is, if you're trading De'Aaron Fox, you need young players. You need players that fit what you're already doing, because this team cannot afford to take a step back. Mm-hmm. They cannot afford. They have raised ticket prices. They've got their path set. They've got veterans like Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk and DeMar DeRozan. They've got a guy in Keegan Murray. They got a guy in Keon Ellis. Like, what you're going to try to do here is fix everything the best you can initially.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, again, young, but not like babies in the league, young prospects they can get better, but also you're going to need high-end first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And no trash. Like, they need high-end first-round picks because what the Kings have to do here is they have to find a chance, some sort of chance at finding the next De'Aaron Fox. And as of right now, they can't do that themselves. Even in a worst-case scenario, this is going to be a 10th seed in the lottery for the next, you know, 5 years because of the mm-hmm. players I already have.
Yep.
They need something that at least can be a golden ticket that possibly gives them an opportunity 100%. To replace the 1A that they're losing.
Whether that's via the draft or via trade.
Yes.
That's
yes.
A 1,000% right. So I want to go through some potential options and what it might look like.
Okay.
I slapped together some trades today.
Okay.
Please understand that this was not my like deep diving, hard research. I'm just pick some trades that work and we'll talk about it. But before we get into that, you mentioned this move, and I think everybody is on the same page of what this deal needs to look like. If you're going to trade De'Aaron Fox, what does this deal have to look like? And I think everybody has a really good idea about it. It's exactly what you said. You have to stretch out your rotation this year.
Mm-hmm.
Pause. And then also, so you're maximizing your opportunity this year because there's still a window there. Even if you trade De'Aaron Fox, you still have Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan and Keegan Murray. Like, there's still an opportunity to compete for a playoff spot this year.
Yep.
And then you have to be building assets for the future. Everything you just laid out. I have a hard time believing that this front office is going to make the correct deal, because this is the same front office that got them to this point where they have a bunch of guards and then they're drafting a guard and then they're not making the right trades or not making any trades. They're almost making trades, but then they're not.
And any trades they do are negative trades. They give up all your second round picks.
Right. So I don't know that I have a belief in Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox that they're going to make the calls, or take the calls, I guess, and work out the right deal that sets the Kings up in the right way to move forward and expand whatever this window is into the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
I totally agree with you. I am leery of that as well. And that's where I think what we have to fall back upon is like the history of the NBA and trades that happened that looks similar to this. And I think our friend Brett Huff, again, our favorite Canadian, who's not really Canadian, but who lives in Canada, he posted on Blue Sky yesterday, two recent star trades. The midseason Kyrie trade in the final year of his contract fetched two solid veterans, one first and two seconds, right? Mm-hmm. The problem that you had with Kyrie at that point was he was a franchise killer in Brooklyn, and right. Like they had to, like, he had sat out, he wouldn't get the vaccine,
right? There was
all kinds
COVID
of stuff.
Related protests from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Okay, so that trade is two solid vets, one first, two second. The off and then Donovan Mitchell trade two seasons ago, and it was crazy. They got two solid vets, which is Laurie Markkanen before he became Laurie Markkanen, and Colin Sexton in a sign-in trade after Colin Sexton was very good, but then was coming off a knee injury.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they got a rookie in, I think, Abaji in mm-hmm. that deal. They also got three first-round picks and two pick swaps. That is where you're like, hey, look, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, realistically, as far on paper, are not that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell's a year older than De'Aaron Fox. They're in the same draft, but he's a year older. And that's what, if I'm the Kings, I'm looking for. I'm looking for at least two rotational players and a young player and two or three picks, maybe even a pick swap or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the Kings are in a precarious position. Yesterday, I reported the San Antonio Spurs were the team that De'Aaron Fox wanted to go to. That is, in fact, the case. Like, mm-hmm. you can go look now everywhere. It seems like everybody's got that now that it's San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Shams talked about it this morning on First Take. That was the case yesterday when everyone kept acting like it was some magical team out there that he has a choice to go to.
Yeah.
Right? That limits the Kings a little bit.
My favorite thing, real quick, just to pause you. My favorite thing about that was immediately the just general fan consensus was like, Lakers, Heat, Knicks, where's he want to go? And then it's like San Antonio.
And that's
I thought that was great.
That's a basketball decision, so people
yes.
know. Okay,
yes.
so go on. San Antonio. According to my sources, that's what it's been, San yep. Antonio. And now other people have those same ideas that it's that team, right? Mm-hmm. That limits the Kings, which is why we're now seeing that there's 12 teams that called and are offering the Kings everything. Okay, it's still, like, De'Aaron does hold a certain amount of cards here. He's the guy that has 1 year left on his deal and can tell anybody that he will not sign an extension with that team mm-hmm. if they trade for him.
Understood. Uh-huh. And real quick, coming up at 11 o'clock, so in about 40 minutes here, Chris Biederman from the Sacramento Bee spoke with De'Aaron Fox yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I assure you asked him all of the questions that you have. So we are going to be talking to Chris at 11 o'clock. He has an exclusive interview coming out with De'Aaron Fox in the Sacramento Bee. It's not out quite yet, but that will be going up at sacbee.com. So make sure to check that out. And then Chris is going to be on with us, and we will ask him about his chat with De'Aaron Fox yesterday after all of this stuff came out.
Yes.
So really fascinated to hear from Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. Again, that's about 35 minutes from now. He'll be joining us right here on ESPN 1320. The thing is with that, San Antonio might be his preferred destination. He might tell whatever other team, like, I might sign here, but no guarantee. Like, I got to play there for a year, and we'll see how it works out. Because if he goes to Orlando and Orlando wins a title this year, I don't know that he's... Or next year. I don't know that he's exiting for San Antonio. He might. I don't know. Anyways,
of course. There's always that potential.
But if that team calls, and I know this isn't what you're saying, just piggybacking off what you're saying. If some team calls, I don't know who it is. Let's say the Rockets. And the Rockets offer you the insane trade package, the most insane trade package you can think of. Whatever your favorite trade package is from the Rockets, put it together in your head. And they offer that. And De'Aaron's like, hey, Houston, I'm not signing there long term. Like, yeah, and Houston's like, yeah, we don't care. It's not on the Kings to not take that deal.
Oh, no, it's
not. It is 1,000% not on the Kings to help some other team if they're like, yeah, we'll risk it.
Yeah. So that's always a possibility that
right.
a team is willing to risk,
right.
like trading for him, and then whatever happens.
Right.
That's always a possibility.
Sure.
Because, like, look, the Kings have been that team multiple times where they trade for a player who doesn't want to be here,
mm-hmm.
and then they figure it out. I mean, Chris Webber is the most like shining example. He didn't want to get off the plane when he landed in Sacramento. He just sat there on the plane and cried. And his dad had to walk onto the plane and say, hey, man, get your ass off the plane. Grow up. This is where you are now.
Yep.
And that's what happened. He got off the plane, fell in love with the city, and next thing you know, he signed a massive contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
That happens sometimes. And so that's why if you're the Kings, you don't just, turn people down at this point. You listen to everything that comes in. And also, by listening to everything that comes in, it makes the deal in San Antonio better. It makes that deal, they have to come up with more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll break down, all of those things in a few minutes on what a trade would look like to some of these different cities.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back to the same question. The people who got you in this situation, the people who are running around trying to trade Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles and maybe a first-round pick down the road, but it can't be one of the next 2 year first-round picks, and it really can't even be the third year first-round
mm-hmm.
pick because we have a lottery-protected pick that could go out the door.
Right.
Do you trust them to make the decision that's ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a franchise-altering decision,
mm-hmm.
and you have to ask, do you trust them? And if you don't, that becomes even a bigger issue right here on January 29th, 2025. Ugh. Because if you don't trust him to make this trade, you can push it off until this summer and maybe you get the same offers, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
But, like, this is a sketchy situation. And, again, the reason why they're running around pitching Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles is because that's what they have to trade. And these guys this is their fifth year in Sacramento. Every single player on that roster, they traded for except for one. And that one player is De'Aaron Fox. That's the only player left that they inherited from Vlade Divac's group. And so when they're running around, they can't make a deal because they don't have the assets to make a deal. There ain't nobody to blame but the two dudes who are running around trying to make the deal. Straight up.
We have to step aside for a minute. Before we do, I want to salute Ken, who just followed me on Twitter. I'm not going to try and pronounce his Twitter handle because it's Kenny backwards and then Kenny with an underscore. He is a Bills fan and Kings fan. That's a rough few days for our guy, Ken. So salute to Ken if you're listening. I think my heart goes out to you. The Bills lost this weekend, and then a couple days later, all this happens. You're a Bills and Kings fan? That's tough.
That's tough. It's tough.
Salute to Ken. All right. We got to step aside for a second. More De'Aaron Fox trades. We're going to try and come up with a trade that gets De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio and helps the Kings. We'll do that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program right here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, James is there. I'm Kyle. Kings and Sixers play tonight.
Oh, they do?
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Looks like De'Aaron Fox is going to play. Chris Biederman, who joins us in about half an hour, talked to De'Aaron Fox, posted a video on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Of Fox warming up. He's at shoot-around. So, D'Lo and KC were asking this yesterday. Do you play De'Aaron Fox, or do you do the thing that the Jazz are doing with John Collins? Like, your hip hurts. He's like, no, it doesn't.
No.
Like, yeah, it does. It's definitely a little sore. You're going to sit until at least February 7th.
And if it doesn't hurt now, we're going to send in Jeff Galooly
right.
to hit you in the leg.
Cameron Johnson, yeah, you're sick, right?
Your right ankle. Your right ankle still hurt, right?
Still
even
hurt?
Though you played three of the last eight games.
It hurts now, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the right thing.
Yeah, I agree. I want to tell people, someone donated $5 in the chat. Don't do that because we don't get that. We don't even know where it goes.
Oh,
it goes into the abyss.
$5.
Yeah, so keep your money in your pocket. We appreciate the sentiment, but there's no need to do that.
Did you put the chat up on the screen?
You see the little $5 thing?
Yeah, no, I want to. Why does this team look exactly like the Hawks team that Wes left behind a financial mess? Well,
I don't know.
Tough.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah, so it looks like De'Aaron Fox is going to play tonight. That's the right thing, man. Like, I know that trade discussions suck up all the energy.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously a potentially seismic organizational shift for the Kings. But at the same time, in the world where they go, hey, you know what? People throwing together offers a week before the trade deadline. Trade deadline's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
At noon Pacific. People throwing offers at it. We're not doing this right now. We need to really get our ducks in a row. We're focused on John Collins and Cam Johnson and competing this year. Because look, if they, let's say Monty and Wes go, hey, you know what? We're going to kick this can to the summer. And then they don't do anything to the roster this year and they miss the playoffs or they're out in four games in the first round. Monty and Wes might not be around this summer to make that deal.
Oh, I'm going to say they're not going to be around? No.
So, right. So they have to figure out a way to have success this year still.
Yes.
Which involves, so this is not a Zach Collins situation. Where I want to punch him in the face. No, this is not a Zach LaVine situation where it's like, hey, Bulls aren't winning anything. He's going to be out. And again, he's out for personal reasons. Hopefully that's nothing serious.
Yeah.
Hopefully that is the Bulls going, hey, take 3 days off. We're trying to trade you. Because the Kings aren't necessarily trying to trade De'Aaron.
Yeah, it's also not a John Collins situation or a Cam Johnson.
Those are better examples. I don't know why I didn't go to those two.
They are like very clearly not playing right now because their teams have no interest in winning.
Right.
And like you
and they don't
even,
want them to get hurt and jeopardize their trade value.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, look, you could even make the argument the other day that we watched the Brooklyn Nets play. And they gave the Kings a good fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was D'Angelo Russell when it mattered? He wasn't on the court for most of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he wasn't on the court, but he wasn't. So, yeah, tough. Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting. According to Keith Smith, I just want to get this out of the way, too.
Yeah, please.
The Supermax, if eligible, with Sacramento only for De'Aaron Fox. Just so people, we keep saying words like Supermax or Max Money and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Give me numbers.
Yeah, according to Keith Smith, who's a contributor to Spotrac.
Does this include what he could make maximum with the Spurs or another team?
It has everything, yes.
Okay, great. Let's do that number first.
Okay. Via extending 5 years. Okay. If he signs with another team as a free agent, it would be $219 million as a free agent. So
okay,
if he waits until No, it's a 4-year 219. So if he waits until the end of next year and signs an extension as a free agent. So like the whole, well, I could just go to the Spurs for free in a year. Well, no, that's not the way. Well, you can, but he would sign a 4-year $219 million.
About just shy of $55 million annually.
Yes. If he's okay. traded now and gets he re-signs and then signs a 5-year extension, he can get up to a 5-year $296 million deal, which means it's an additional $77 million for 1 year, basically, more.
Annually, $59 million, so about $4 million more.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So if he gets a Supermax, and the only team he can get a Supermax with is the Kings, and the only way he can get a Supermax is if he's All-NBA. If all of that happens, it's a 5-year $345 million contract, which is slightly below $70 million. It's $69 million a nice. Year, basically, for 5 years.
Man.
I mean, but
so
it's
if he
not.
Signs,
it's,
if he waits till free agency, he caps out at $54.75 million annually.
Yep.
If he makes an All-NBA team and stays with the Kings, he caps out at $69 million annually.
Annually. So a $15 million difference
per year.
Per year. And not only that, but it's a 5-year deal. So that last year is because you got to remember this contract starts, it's going to start at probably like $55
million. Right, it's going to
escalate. It's going to go up 8% a year. So that last year, we're talking 80 something million dollar contract in the last year. And it's an extension onto his pre-existing contract. So right now, he just turned 27. He'd be 28. Mm-hmm. So then his 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. In his 33-year season mm-hmm. is that year where he would make 80-something million dollars as a Supermax player.
Golly.
So that is why.
And the max he can make. Now, real quick, if he doesn't make an All-NBA team.
Yes.
The max he can sign with the Kings is the same as the max he could sign for elsewhere?
Well, it depends. If he's a free agent and he waits until the end of that and he goes and signs with another team, he can do a 4-year $219 million. That's as okay. if just a pure free agent.
Right. But let's say he this is probably too convoluted, but follow me. If he doesn't make an All-NBA team this year or next year with Sacramento, he's in Sacramento, he's going to be a free agent. The 4 and 219 is the most he can sign even with Sacramento?
No. No, no. He
it's
can
the
sign wait.
5 and
yeah, it's
290 or whatever.
Yeah, 5/296. But here's the okay. kicker. You can't sign an extension for 6 months after you get traded, right?
Okay.
You have to wait 6 months to sign an extension. So, if he's going to get traded to another team, that might be why they want to be traded now. So, March, April, May, June, July, August. He could sign an extension in August that would be that $296 million.
Right, before the 25-26 season.
If you wait until July 1st or you wait until draft night, now that pushes out way deeper, and I don't even know if you can still sign extensions at that point during the season.
Sure.
I'd have to look it up, but that might be another issue that's in play here. It's all complicated, man. It's all complicated, but that's why some of the money matters, right?
Right. Yeah, we're not talking a couple million dollars.
No, it's a lot of money. And that's why if he's like, hey, give me some help. And you're like, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. No, I said, give me some help. And they're like, we'll get to it. Now it's like, okay, I don't want to help anymore. I just because you can't really give me anything that someone else can't give me.
Right.
So I'm ready to go.
I will go to the help.
Yeah. So there was a point where the Kings, if he would have been All-NBA and they could have done something to help him get to All-NBA this season, he would have made approximately $50 million more over a 5-year period than he will likely now. That's where we're at.
Say that one more time.
Okay, so if they would have gone out and got him help and he could have made All-NBA this year, because getting him help means that they win more games and he's going to be eligible.
Right.
Well, people are going to look at him differently because his team is the number 3 seed or
correct.
The number 4 seed. They're going to look at him differently when it comes to All-NBA, and it's possible
that
he gets
that. That is just how it goes.
It is. He gets that All-NBA nod. Mm-hmm. He would have been eligible for an additional $50 million. That's what the Supermax is. It's basically an additional $49 million.
Man.
That he basically is not going to be eligible. So We talk about, oh, is it a couple million? No, it's $10 million a year over the course of 5 years. That's how much the All-NBA mattered. And so you can say, oh, that, you know, that's so much money. Why are you worrying about that? It's like, well, why am I worrying about it? Because it's a lot of money. And why would I say, hey, I would prefer to go to San Antonio? Right. Maybe it's because San Antonio, the state of Texas, doesn't have state income tax, I believe.
That's correct.
So all of a sudden you get that 10% bump that you're not paying in California.
You're in your home state.
You're in your home state, but that 10% bump on $296 million is, you know, $30 million, $29.6 million roughly.
And you're going to be playing alongside the future face of the NBA.
Yes.
You're going to go play in France, and you're going to be on national television, and you're likely going to be making deep playoff runs.
And you're likely going to make All-NBA and All-Star teams and everything else that comes with it.
Every year. Because it's going to be Fox and Wemby.
Yep.
That would be the goal.
It's tough.
It is. It is. And I would understand, you know, you want to do what's best for all sides, but the Kings have to focus on what's best for them and this and that. So,
yeah.
Is there a way that they can actually improve here? Is there a way? Here's what I know. There's nothing that's going to happen outside of De'Aaron Fox staying in Sacramento and signing with Sacramento. There's no trade that's going to happen that I think you or me or any Kings fan watching the show, listening to the show or not, I don't think there's any trade of De'Aaron Fox is going to happen where people are going to be like, oh, nice. Hell yeah.
I don't think there's a trade where
it's
you're...
It's a bummer to lose a guy like De'Aaron Fox no matter what you're getting back.
Yes, I totally agree. There's not a trade out there that I believe yields a 1A like him.
No.
Like a frontline number one scorer. You can get a score, but... Like, there's a difference between De'Aaron Fox and Zach LaVine. There's a huge difference between those two players. Like, a tremendous difference between those two players.
No doubt.
So, like, there is not a trade that gets that coming back to Sacramento. Is there trades that have the possibility of a draft pick becoming that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is. And that's why when you look at all the teams that are going to be mentioned, I've talked about this a bunch of times. Houston is the one with the shiny red lights that you're like, oh, I want to go trade with Houston because they have all this young talent.
Yep.
There's a very, very good undercurrent here in Sacramento that De'Aaron Fox would not sign an extension with the Houston Rockets. He's not going to do it. And that will be made like very clear. So even if Houston, who has repeatedly said that they do not want to make any trades at all right now because they love what's happening with their team, and if they are going to do any deals, they'd wait until this summer. And even right now, they can't even trade Jalen Green. So that's another issue. But Houston is a place that he said, I don't want to go to. And so you're going to have this, okay, here's a trade offer, and then, oh, that trade offer looks way different now that you say you don't want to sign here.
Right.
And you could see, like what you said, like... There is a point where you're like, hey, it's not on us. You're taking the risk.
Yeah, so if Houston wants to give up, I built a trade for Houston. Here we go.
Okay.
If they want to give up, and I didn't include Jalen Green, because if you trade him now, there's that poison pill in his contract.
Yeah.
Which basically means his outgoing salary when you're matching salaries.
Yes, he's a base year compensation player.
Right. So his outgoing salary is $12.4 million because he's in the last year of his rookie contract. But the Kings would be taking in the average annual value of his rookie extension, the three-year $105.3 million rookie extension that he just signed. So the Rockets are trading out $12.4 million, and the Kings are getting $29.3 million.
There's no way to make a deal to do it.
It's impossible.
Well, no, it is. It's completely impossible because the Kings can't go above the hard cap. And
right.
Like, so it's over. Like, right. You can't actually, but you can July 1st.
Right.
So that's when I get to, like, okay, the Rockets are in that situation. There's, like, two teams that are in that situation. But if you want Jalen Green included in a deal, which is the player that makes the most sense to go with other players, that's where I start.
So for Houston, here's the trade I slapped together.
Okay.
Reed Sheppard.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting Jabari Smith Jr. in this deal.
Okay.
You're getting Jayshon Tate.
Okay.
And you're getting Cam Whitmore.
Okay.
You're getting Houston's 2025 first, a 2027 first-round pick swap with Brooklyn.
Okay, that's intriguing.
And Houston's 2031 first.
Yeah, see, that's tough because Houston's very limited in what they can do with those pick swaps, right? And their picks are going to be really good. Like,
right.
The 2025 pick is a bottom five pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want a number 25 through 30 pick?
Right.
Not really.
Right. And that's probably going to come with some level of protection.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just getting this unprotected for... So not only is it likely going to be in the bottom five-ish of the draft, given the trajectory Houston's on, in the event that they go sideways, you're probably not going to get it if it's a top five protected or whatever.
Yeah. So that's tough. I'm not saying yes to Houston unless it's this summer and Jalen Green is part of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Smith is part of that deal. Cam Whitmore at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, a couple of firsts.
Yeah.
That's where I'm starting with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal, like, whatever Reed Sheppard is. I don't know what he is. He could be a very good player. He's a third pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But he also doesn't play any minutes for them. Cam Whitmore is in and out of the lineup. I really like Cam Whitmore, but very specific style of player. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not, like, predicating my entire deal. I like Jabari Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurt, but then kind of out of the rotation, and... now all of a sudden Amen Thompson has stolen his job and there's no going back there now. I mean, that's the Malik Monk situation all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you can move him to a different position on the floor, but does that mean Dylan Brooks loses his job and Jabari Smith? I mean, it's going to be tough, but the Amen Thompson era is upon us.
And they're not, right, and they're not trading Amen Thompson.
No, they're not.
So that's where, so not only, so you're saying Fox wouldn't sign with Houston?
I do believe he will not.
So... Houston, you can ask for anything from Houston.
Yep.
And they're not going to, like, that 2027 Brooklyn pick swap is probably not going to be involved.
No.
If they're renting De'Aaron Fox for a year.
Well, no, and that pick swap, that could be extremely valuable. It could also, I don't know what next year's draft looks like. Mm-hmm. I know what the Cooper Flagg draft looks like, but I don't know what the 2026 draft looks like in that pick swap. Oh, it's a 2027 pick swap.
Yeah, 2027.
And like, Brooklyn has done a really nice job of quietly clearing out every salary they have. And when Ben Simmons falls off the books, don't be surprised if Brooklyn jumps right back in and all of a sudden brings in a whole bunch of players.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if that's a good play or not.
Sure.
Okay, so what do we got next?
I'm taking Houston off the board entirely. I want to remind you, Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee spoke with De'Aaron Fox. He's going to be joining us in about 10 minutes right here on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. James Hamm there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Let's talk Spurs.
Okay.
So the Spurs have assets for days. The talent, the potential outgoing talent is not as high as maybe with Houston or maybe even with a team like Orlando.
I would agree 100%. The talent isn't nearly what you might get somewhere else.
So I think if you're dealing with the Spurs, I'm asking for Devin Vassell and Stephon Castle.
Yep.
I need both of them. Jeremy Sochan and Julian Champagne. I can never pronounce his name right.
Yeah.
Champagne.
I think that's how you say it. There's two of them. That's
so
all
they
I know.
They have a gang of picks here. And this is for De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Herter to make the money work.
Yeah. Okay. Would it take that much to make the money work?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have, I just wrote down a bunch of picks here, but just to give you an idea of what the Spurs are working with, they have Atlanta's 2025 first. They have Atlanta's a swap with Atlanta in 2026.
Yep.
They have Atlanta's 2027 first.
Yep.
They have the pick swap with the Kings in 2031. You can get your own
pick
first
swap
back
there.
They have Atlanta's 2026 second. They have Utah's 2026 second, and then they have, I could not find the specifics, they have either the Pelicans or the Blazers' 2026 second round pick.
They also have the Charlotte Hornets' 2025 first round pick, but it's protected 1 through 14, and then it's protected, and it conveys to a 2026 and 2027 second round pick. They have a first-round pick from the Bulls, which is top 10 protected, top 8 protected in 2026, top 8 protected in 2027, and then becomes second-round picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have so many picks, it's crazy.
And that's where, so look, you're trading De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter is ostensibly out of your rotation right now.
Yep.
You're getting back, so you're starting five, and this is kind of what I want to try and get across. So you figure out, you want to maximize the picture getting back. But if you're trading Fox, your starting lineup is now Monk, Ellis, DeRozan, Keegan, and Domas.
Okay.
Okay. And you're getting Devin Vassell is now your sixth man.
Or my starting shooting guard.
Or your starting shooting guard.
Okay.
You have Stephon Castle, who is a top four pick
uh-huh.
in this year's draft.
Yep.
You have Jeremy Sochan.
Okay.
Good player. And you have Shin Penny.
Okay.
All of a sudden, your bench feels a lot deeper.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's something that you're able to do, because you said it, you're not going to get the, there's not going to be a deal out there where you're getting an equal player to De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
I shouldn't say that. Highly unlikely that you're getting a player equal to De'Aaron Fox. And that's where it's like, I know that it doesn't put you in a great spot if he's like, the Spurs are the only place I'm signing, because that takes away some of your leverage in the trade market. But if that's the player haul you're getting back, on top of all that we just mentioned, a bunch of the picks they have, if you can find the right accumulation of picks there,
mm-hmm.
you've now, your starting lineup's worse. But you've extended out your bench, and you've given yourself assets to this summer go out and see, hey, is there a disgruntled star out there? Is there a disgruntled just all-star out there?
Yeah.
Who we now have this package of picks, and it's not contingent upon like, okay, well, we're waiting on this one to convey to Atlanta, and so let's see, that means that pick's tied up, but this has to have an asterisk. No, you have this treasure trove of assets now on top of making your bench deeper this year.
Yes.
If that's the route you have to go, I would rather De'Aaron Fox stay here. But if you have to make a deal, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if it's the Spurs.
If I have to make a deal, it's probably like on paper, the Spurs that I go to. And it's because in order to make the deal, I want that Atlanta Hawks 2025 first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask for more than that. Mm-hmm. But that's like the creme de la creme. I mean, that is the Atlanta Hawks just lost Jalen Johnson for the season.
Yep.
They're about to sink in the standings. They're already not like a great team. But this is a draft where, you know, if you somehow luck out and get the top pick, they're number 9 right now. They're going to be a lottery team most likely. They're 22 and 25.
And going the wrong way.
Yeah, and Philadelphia is right there. They can move up, and Chicago might be able to move up. They won't be able to get into like a top 5, top 6 place. But that's an unprotected pick. Their 2027 is an unprotected pick that,
man,
they gave up all that for DeJounte Murray. So there is some crazy stuff going on right there. And so I want in on that. For sure,
yep.
If I'm the Kings. Because, again, I don't think that, like, everyone can say what you want about Stephon Castle. Like, I watched him play. I know he's going to be in the slam dunk contest. He's fun. Like, he plays defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quality.
Developing as an offensive
player.
Yeah,
he's a quality player, but I do not, under any circumstance, see him being an all-star level player. Like, maybe I'm off with that.
Okay.
I don't see Jeremy Sochan being an all-star player. I don't see Devin Vassell as an all-star player. I think they're all really, really good top 6, top 7 of your rotation players.
And which is what they'd be here.
Well, that's what they would be. But if you're going to trade a 1A,
mm-hmm.
you have to have some sort of opportunity to replace that 1A. And the only way, in my book, is with one of those or two of those Atlanta picks.
Sure.
And that's why the Kings, going into that negotiation, they're going to show the Donovan Mitchell trade and say, well, this is what it costs. They're going to show the DeJounte Murray trade that mm-hmm. they got all of these unprotected picks for.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, De'Aaron Fox is a much better player than DeJounte Murray.
Facts.
Just straight up.
Yep.
And so if that's what you got for DeJounte Murray, we're going to want more than that.
Also, you're in the Western Conference, and we're about to accelerate your timeline by 2 years.
Well, not only that, but
at least
the way that the Spurs are built right now mm-hmm. is they have the money to go make the next move as well. So
what
they not only that, but
what a good organization.
They have the picks and the money to go get a Brandon Ingram and do Brandon Ingram and De'Aaron Fox in the same offseason to go with Victor Wembanyama.
It'd be so sick to be a Spurs fan.
Well,
just what a great org.
They've done it right. Like, they're sitting on a gold mine right now, and all of a sudden, you know, someone just said there's gold in them that are here hills. And all right, will they cash in or not? That's the question.
Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee talked to De'Aaron Fox. What did Fox have to say? Well, we'll find out from Chris. You can read his story at sacbee.com. Chris Biederman joining us next. Find out what De'Aaron Fox had to say about all this, all the trade stuff. We'll hear from Chris right here on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320. And this is Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. We're talking a lot of De'Aaron Fox today. So nobody better to talk to than Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. He has been on the road with the Kings for this entire road trip and spoke with De'Aaron Fox yesterday. Chris,
this morning.
Chris, welcome in. Your article is available at sacbee.com. I guess before we get into what De'Aaron had to say, what are your thoughts on this trade buzz, speculation, rumors?
I don't think it's very complicated, right? Like, I think it's been widely reported, and Fox has said as much, that like he told the team that he wanted to see where it would go this season when he declined the 3-year extension over the summer. The team has not made improvement. He wanted the team to improve the roster, right? He wanted them to be in the playoffs and not in the play-in mix. So they haven't done that yet. He's said that he really wants organizational stability. Well, the team fired its head coach, a head coach that Fox liked. And then when Mike Brown was fired, no one in the organization publicly spoke and took some of the, I guess, onus off Fox's shoulders. Fox had to answer a bunch of questions about, you know, whether or not he pushed Mike Brown out. And you know, I've reported and other people have reported that it was not accurate that Fox really had anything to do with Mike Brown's firing, and that it was pretty sudden. But no one from the organization has come out and had Fox's back. So I think from that standpoint, it's pretty simple. Like, Fox has said, look, I want these things to happen. Those things have not happened. And then Mike Brown got fired, and De'Aaron Fox, you know, I think wrongly took some of the brunt of that. And then here we are. Like, it's the trade deadline. And I think Fox basically confirmed today that, you know, the team's fielding calls, and that there's a real possibility that he gets dealt before the deadline. So it's I think it's very complicated for the Kings. I don't think it's super complicated for De'Aaron Fox.
Interesting. So by not complicated for Fox, you mean like, I mean, like, look, I've been around him for a long time. He's very cut and dry, right? Like, he's very matter of fact, and his understanding is pretty clear. Like, they didn't do X, Y, and Z. They put me in a bad situation. Is there any way to back that up? Is there any way to fix this thing now? Or did you get the sense from him, like, no, this is heading towards a bad breakup right now?
Yeah. I mean, I asked him if there was anything that could be done that could make him want to sign with the Kings long-term or stick it out beyond the deadline. And he said, you know, anything can happen. Crazier things have happened in the league. He said that twice. And you know, De'Aaron, like, when he's not super eager to dive into the minutiae of a subject, he will give you sort of short platitude answers, which he did, but they were revealing in a sense that, you know, him saying he wouldn't be surprised if he got dealt, or him saying anything's possible, essentially, in terms of the Kings being able to potentially make a move that would want him to stay, I think makes sense coming from him, given what we know about how he addresses the media. I think at this point, like, I think the Kings have had the opportunities to improve the roster. And we're sort of getting to, like, I think we're almost beyond the point of, like, this is they still can save it. Like, I don't know, you know, are they suddenly going to do a Cam Johnson trade, and is that suddenly going to make De'Aaron Fox want to stay? I don't really know. I kind of feel like the toothpaste might be out of the tube from that perspective, but I guess we'll see. We still have, you know, almost or a little bit more than a week until the deadline.
Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee spoke with De'Aaron Fox. You can read that story now at sacbee.com. Chris live from his high-rise apartment in Philly. he confirmed that the Spurs were his preferred destination. Did you get the idea that that is his preferred destination just via trade? Or that is where he would eventually like to land, whether it's in a trade now, in the summer, or in free agency?
Let me pull up the exact quote. He said he would prefer, like he said, everybody has a preferred destination. Mm-hmm. If they're not going to end up where they currently are, is basically what he said. I didn't ask him whether that would be a trade or the hypothetical free agency scenario, sure. But he basically made it very clear that, yeah, of course I have a preferred destination if it's not here. And I think everybody does. And then I asked him straight up, is it San Antonio? And he said, well, that's what the reporting says. You know, and I know James reported that yesterday. So he didn't refute it. He had the opportunity to shoot that down, and he absolutely didn't. So, you know, I think that was sort of the theme of the interview. Maybe not what he said, but the fact that he was willing to go on the record and not refute anything. If you read between the lines, that says as much as anything else. So to me, that was my takeaway, is that, yeah, it's the Spurs. And if you're De'Aaron Fox, like, we know he's a small market guy. Like, he doesn't love the spotlight. He wants organizational stability. The Spurs are certainly that, and he wants an opportunity to win. And what better player to potentially align yourself with long-term than Victor Wembanyama? So I think it checks all those boxes for De'Aaron, and I think it would make a lot of sense for the Spurs as well. So it is kind of a natural pairing from that standpoint. And I would understand, given, you know, all that's happened in the last couple of years, that De'Aaron would want to push that direction.
Yeah, like, all of what you're saying makes perfect sense to me. I want to know, you're there with them. What is the mood like? Mm-hmm. And what are his teammates saying? Because this is like, I mean, you're a family, and now someone doesn't want to be part of the family anymore. And, you know, I know Doug is doing his best to keep this thing together, but just how shook is everybody by this news? And just what was your general feel around the team?
I mean, I was just at shoot around for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour today, and everything seemed normal. Everything was, you know, there were a lot of smiles. It all seemed sort of normal. My feel, I guess, for the locker room is that these guys will support De'Aaron and really anything he decides. I don't think, like, there's a clear difference between, I think, what's happening with De'Aaron now and what's happening in Miami with Jimmy Butler, right? Like, it's not like De'Aaron is being a malcontent. Like, if De'Aaron's still practicing, he's still playing, he hasn't requested a trade. He, you know, he told me today he has not requested a trade. And so, you know, De'Aaron's not being as detrimental to the team as it would seem Jimmy Butler is being in Miami right now. So it's not a scenario where it's like, you know, this guy really wants out of here. It's a scenario where, you know, De'Aaron wants what's best for his career, and I think everybody in that locker room respects that. So I haven't really sensed that De'Aaron's situation has led to, like, discontent or frustration in the locker room, and maybe that changes in the coming days. But for now, it's like, being around the team, like, you know, talking to guys about De'Aaron playing through injury and stuff, like, everyone, all of his teammates are really appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the idea that De'Aaron should sit out and take some time to get healthy, and De'Aaron doesn't want to do that, and his teammates really appreciated that for him. I wrote about that after the Knicks game. So I feel like De'Aaron's in a relatively good space when it comes to the relationship with his teammates. But in terms of his relationship with the front office and the organization, I think that might be a little bit different.
Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee joining us now. He spoke with De'Aaron Fox. You can read the story at sacbee.com. So I guess, so we'll see De'Aaron playing then. at least up until he's traded, which means if at some point De'Aaron sits out, that'll be the red flag. That'll be the cause for alarm.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. There's been no indication, and I asked him like, where's your head at as a trade deadline comes? He's like, I'm going to keep doing my job, and he participated in shoot around today. There's no indication that he's not going to play tonight. So again, like it's not Fox being a malcontent, at least from my standpoint. Like I don't view this as it being as distracting as a scenario would be. Like if Fox were to, you know, sit out and we find out he's a DNP for quote unquote personal reasons, which is happening elsewhere for, you know, I guess Zach LaVine, maybe, right? Well, personal reasons he's sitting out. Like we haven't gotten that to that scenario yet with De'Aaron, and I'm not ruling it out. But for now, it looks like Fox is going to continue playing, whether he's in the Kings' long-term plans or not.
Mm. Chris, how do the Kings move forward from here? Because this is like, I mean, he has been, they call him the head of the snake. They call him the franchise player. He's the guy on every single billboard. He's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this opens a door for other people to be the guy, whether it's Sabonis, whether it's Malik Monk, whatever. But like, how do you think they're all dealing with this like internally, and like, how do you move forward as a group?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they're in a really difficult place because they have, you know, it's been very clear that they're trying to make the playoffs this year, and it doesn't seem like, you know, they're at all, they have any appetite to pivot towards rebuilding. And I don't know how you do that, how you thread that needle of, all right, we're going to trade our star player and continue to try to get to the playoffs. Like, to me, and this is just me editorializing, but like, if you're trading star players, you know, the best avenue towards getting to real, legitimate, substantial contention is drafting stars. And the best way to do that is to acquire as many draft picks as possible. And then, you know, if a star does come available in a trade, maybe you can move those draft picks. But, you know, to get some role players and say, like, yeah, we want to remain in contention this year, that to me just, and again, this is just my opinion, but that to me is just the road towards mediocrity. And I don't know that the Kings would be best off in doing that. I think if you're going to trade De'Aaron Fox and you're in a position where that's what you have to do, then to me, it's try to load up on as many draft picks as possible and see if you can draft the next De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. And have him under contract for a long time and then build a foundation. You know, the best way to win championships is to draft stars. That's just it. Like that's, you know, there are very, very few team building scenarios in the history of the NBA where you win a championship without drafting at least one or two stars.
Yep.
So to me, if that's where, if I were running the Kings and I'm not, and I knew I had to trade De'Aaron Fox, I would look at it like, all right, this is time for a full rebuild. Maybe we're 2 years away, but let's get a bunch of draft picks. Let's see if we can draft some potential, you know, the next De'Aaron Fox or the next whoever, and build contention that way, because in a small market, that's really what you have to do. I think it's an incredibly difficult needle to thread to say we're going to trade our best player and still remain in contention for a playoff spot. I just don't know how that's feasible, to be honest.
The problem is if you're the front office and you make that trade and you want to go, okay, hey, we're going to tear it down for a rebuild, you're probably not going to be around for the rebuild. I guess probably.
Right. Like, which
it's a really, really tough spot for everyone.
That might speak to a larger discussion about ownership and who's in charge and who's ultimately setting the direction of the franchise. Because, you know, if there was a clear and coherent plan here, I think De'Aaron Fox would feel a lot more inclined to stay and, you know, feel more inclined to sign a long-term contract to remain in Sacramento. But it doesn't feel like there's a coherent plan because there haven't been substantial improvements made to the roster. And there hasn't been organizational stability, obvious by the fact that they fired the head coach and nobody took accountability for it publicly. So to me, like, you know, that all starts at the top with Vivek Ranadive and the team's top decision makers, because they're the ones in charge of setting the course for the franchise. And so far, it seems like De'Aaron Fox, or at least right now, it doesn't seem like De'Aaron Fox is in line with whatever course the franchise is on. And so that's how they got to this point.
Okay, Chris, we're joined by Chris Biederman from Sacramento Bee here on The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Nice.
thanks, Kyle.
Good reset.
Good reset. Look, this is a bad situation, and I think what complicates it even further is that we have 8 days until the trade deadline, and the Kings should be looking to get better, and at the same time, they're now looking like they might get worse. Can you get better and worse at the same time? Does this end all of the other pursuits that they're doing right now? Can you go get the players that you need in this trade that you would have traded for? Like, what does this mean for the Kings and the deadline? Because it just feels like it just dropped a bomb on everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm alluding to. It's like, what's the path of the organization now? If you're going to trade De'Aaron Fox, then I don't know how much sense it makes to go get Cam Johnson, right? Like, even if De'Aaron Fox is signaling and you know, all the indications are that Fox is not going to sign with the Kings long term, unless maybe something miraculous happens over the next week. But I think the Kings are clearly operating under the standpoint of they're not expecting Fox to want to sign long term with the Kings over the summer. So that's why they have made it clear that they're open to taking these calls. So, you know, like, why give away your assets? And if you are going to need your assets to rebuild your team with maybe potentially with younger guys, right? Like, why go deal for Cam Johnson or John Collins? If ultimately it's not going to make a difference whether you keep Fox or not. That's kind of why I think the toothpaste is out of the tube. Like, the Kings are kind of operating as if there's not really anything they can do right now that makes De'Aaron Fox want to stay. If that's the case and you're Monty McNair, why would you deal assets when you might need assets? And to Kyle's point earlier, like, it also puts Monty McNair in a tough spot because we don't know if Monty McNair will be the one making those decisions down the line. So it is a messy situation. But again, like, it's messy from the Kings' standpoint. I don't think it's messy from De'Aaron Fox's standpoint. I think it's pretty clear. Like, he feels like he's done right by the organization. He doesn't feel like the organization has done right by him. And he wants to thrive in the prime of his career, and he thinks he has a better chance to do that elsewhere.
Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee. Kings in Philly tonight, then Oklahoma City, then Minnesota. Then they have a home game against Orlando at Golden 1 Center on February 5th. That is their last game before the trade deadline. When they take on the Blazers on Thursday night, February 6th, is De'Aaron Fox on the team?
I asked him, I was like, do you expect to be traded? And he said, I expect the unexpected. Anything can happen in this league, more or less. I think we're kind of once Damian was putting out what he was putting out yesterday and once Shams put out that report, I mean, to me, it's like knowing Clutch, knowing how they operate. You know, sometimes the reporting is a little bit slower than what's actually happening, if that makes sense. Like, the layers of the reporting are two or three layers behind the actual events. So to me, like, when it comes out that, oh, the Kings are fielding offers, and like, it feels like to me that maybe Fox's camp is agitating pretty hard for a trade without demanding one, right? I think it's more likely than not that Fox goes. But, you know, like Fox said, crazier things have happened. And again, he didn't rule out something happening that would keep him in Sacramento, but my read of it is that it seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely. I think that's where we're at. Yeah. Okay, so how do you go play a basketball game? Like, what do you expect to see from that Kings team tonight? They already had their first quarter woes. We all know that. But, like, how do you walk out on the court and play a game with, you know, 8 guys and one of them doesn't want to be there and one of them doesn't expect to be there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think playing the game is probably the easy part. Like, it's going to be talking to the media and talking to family members and reading social media and all that. Like, that's probably the harder part for the players than just going out and hooping, right? Like, I think these guys like to hoop and that's what they're best at and that's what they'll go do. So I don't think that's particularly difficult. But it'll be difficult if and when Fox is traded because you have all these guys trying to compete for a playoff spot. If and when Fox gets traded, you'll be bringing in new pieces that everyone will get acclimated to. And then, you know, you'll try to do that and try to get back to playoff contention at the same time. Like that to me is going to be more difficult than this sort of, I guess, holding pattern, purgatory, whatever you want to call it they're in right now. But no, like to me, I guarantee you, like if you were to ask James, and you know this, if you were to ask Malik Monk, like, what do you got to do? We're going to go hoop. We're going to go try to win. Like, and that's more or less what Fox said today. So I think those guys are good at compartmentalizing that. I think it's all the other stuff that's more difficult when it comes to, you know, when they have their phones in their face, as opposed to just playing basketball.
Chris, you've been super generous with your time. Thanks so much. Go enjoy your day in Philly and enjoy the game tonight. Kings 76ers out there in Philadelphia. Appreciate you, Chris.
And hey, Chris,
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being there so we have this type of reporting.
No doubt.
Thanks,
yeah.
Brother.
No, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank my bosses.
Sacramento Bee, SacBee.com. Chris Biederman, thanks so much, man. His exclusive interview with De'Aaron Fox is up there now. Go check that out. Man, I don't know what I was expecting to hear from De'Aaron specifically, but I think there was part of me that was hoping that he was going to be like, what? No, I don't want to go. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going anywhere. We're trying to make the playoffs this year. I don't know why. Like, that was naive to think that, oh, okay, he's going to talk and everything's going to be fine. And after hearing what he had to say, I'm expecting the unexpected. The unexpected is a trade. An unexpected move would be the Kings trading De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. I'm going to point to one thing that he said there.
Please.
The thing that caught my ear, the most unprofessional moment in the entire time that I've covered the Sacramento Kings, was the moment that they decided to fire an NBA head coach and not have a press conference, not have a moment of accountability with the media, and the media represents the fans in that room.
Mm-hmm.
We had questions to ask. They did not get answered because they hid from the fact that they fired their coach. And for De'Aaron to like straight up pointed out that they left him out there high and dry to answer that. I mean,
that's trash.
You know what this is? That is a 2011 George and Joe and Gavin Maloof move to avoid accountability in a moment of crisis. They left Paul Westphal. They left a young DeMarcus Cousins. They left a young group of players out to talk. Not basketball. Talk about relocation.
Right. To answer the questions that the people in charge are paid to answer.
And to not have that press conference and to have that come up right now as one of the reasons.
Yep.
That's on you. That is on you for not having the press conference, Sacramento Kings.
And it's not just specifically that one thing.
Yeah.
It's that there's that, and then on top of De'Aaron directly going to the Kings and being like, yo, dudes, can we get some help in here so we can contend beyond the, hey, can they make the playoffs? Can we change the conversation? Can we raise the ceiling of this team? And then nothing. So they fire the coach and then leave him to answer the questions.
They played an epic game of not it and left De'Aaron Fox as the last guy to touch his nose.
Right. Without
the
a
last
choice.
Guy to like, yeah. Oh, so it's me who gets to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough
well, you
look.
Guys aren't making trades. You're not doing. So what are you doing?
Especially since you'd already asked. You'd already asked for that. Mike Brown begged for them to go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the same exact pieces that De'Aaron Fox asked for.
Yep.
Mike Brown asked for Cam Johnson, people.
Also, hey.
They told him it was 2 first-round picks and they weren't going to do it.
Also, it turns out De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown get along just fine.
They get along just fine.
And you fired the coach.
Yeah. Didn't and see this one coming.
And then let people blame it on him. Man.
Toons is a driving cat right here in front of us.
Man. I don't get the reference, but I'm sure it's apt.
Saturday Night Live, you let the cat drive the car. Because
oh,
he
yes.
Asked.
Yeah.
You know what happened? He drove you off the cliff.
All right. We'll have more on this. We might look ahead to King 76ers. I don't know. I'm looking forward to Kings 76ers tonight because of Underdog Daily Fantasy. I'll tell you that much right now. Underdog's pick 'em game, super easy. You pick two or more players. You pick higher or lower on their stats. With the big game coming up, you know I'm locked in. Chiefs-Eagles, I've already got a lineup set. But I'll have more than one with the big game coming up. But they also have all your favorite leagues, all your favorite players. Anytime there's a Kings game, I've got a lineup going. My lineup tonight, I meant to have this up, and I don't. My lineup tonight, if you want to play along, download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code Kyle M and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Kyle M on the Underdog app. Here's what I'm rocking with tonight. Kings at 76ers. Malik Monk, I'm going higher than 6.5 assists. I feel like he goes higher than that number almost every game. Tyrese Maxey, I'm going lower than 31.5 points. He had 43 last night. I don't think the Kings have a ton of other things to defend, and they've done a really good job shutting down D'Angelo Russell, shutting down Steph Curry, of throwing the right defenses at a team's primary scorer when they're down a bunch of players, what the Sixers are right now. Domantas Sabonis, I'm going higher than 15.5 rebounds because Domas having lower than 16 rebounds feels weird right now. And Keegan Murray, it turns out the 76ers don't rebound great, so I'm going Keegan Murray higher than 6.5 rebounds. We're going to see Keegan clean up on the glass tonight. So that is my Underdog Pick'em lineup. Download the Underdog app today to play along. Sign up with that promo code Kyle M and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Kyle M. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. More De'Aaron Fox trade stuff coming up with James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is The Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. A lot of De'Aaron Fox trade stuff today, man.
Yeah, I don't even know what a rundown looks like at this point.
I don't like... I want to believe that there's a way to salvage this. I saw somebody in the chat, Austin. Salute everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. YouTube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. James Hamm and I are live 10 a.m. to noon every day right here on ESPN 1320. That's on your radio. If you're listening on the radio, we appreciate you as well. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show is the podcast. If you can't listen live, we upload each hour in the whole show every day. It's the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Somebody asks, is this situation salvageable? And I want to believe it is, but it feels to me, because you can't request a trade anymore in the NBA. You will be fined.
Yes.
If you actively request a trade.
Yes.
Chris used the word agitating for a trade. Fox's camp is agitating for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like once you reach that point, it is really, really difficult. I don't want to say impossible. It's so difficult to just go back and be like, oh, hey, yeah, max extension. Everything's great. Everything totally fine. Everybody forget about that. At least in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
When you've reached this point midseason, it's kind of like, all right, that means things are percolating.
Okay, so like if I'm the Kings and I have this idea that maybe I can save this, I honestly believe what that looks like is something much bigger than anything that we're looking at right now. Like, it's not Cam Johnson, who's a perfectly fine player.
Right. Cam Johnson and John Collins thing was great in the context of, all right, everybody's here, everybody's on the same page, everybody's rowing the same direction.
Yeah, that's done.
They change, the calculus of adding them changes a lot when De'Aaron's like, maybe I want off the boat. Uh-oh.
Well, I'm not giving up anything now to go make those deals because those players aren't franchise changers. You still need that.
Uh-huh.
But like I think what I'm trying to say is like you had an opportunity to tweak the roster, to improve the roster with a John mm-hmm. Collins or a Cam, mm-hmm. Cam Johnson. And mm-hmm. again, the Cam Johnson stuff was all the way back at the draft. The Cam Johnson stuff kicked up early in the season when it was clear they didn't have the players. Mm-hmm. Like early in the season. Can you please go get Cam Johnson, right? I mean, they traded their other players. They traded Dennis Schroeder And they traded, Dorian Finney-Smith, mm-hmm. like, at or before the December 15th mark.
Yes, like right at the December 15th
like
mark.
Like, 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago, they mm-hmm. traded those guys. You could have had him then.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could have avoided this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that's not enough. If you're going to try to save this, you have to do something so over the top that would make De'Aaron Fox want to be here. And mm-hmm. I don't even know what that move is, but if there is another player of the caliber of De'Aaron Fox that might be available that makes $40 or $50 million, and I'm not talking Jimmy Butler, I'm not talking Zach LaVine.
Right.
I'm talking a bona fide, like, running mate with him mm-hmm. and Domas.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go get that player, whether it costs you Keegan Murray, whether it costs you 3 first-round draft picks, whether mm-hmm. it costs you DeMar DeRozan, whatever it costs you, that's how you could save this.
No doubt.
It's not by winning the next 5 games and saying, we promise we're going to be good.
Right.
You blew that chance.
No doubt.
And so, yeah, I don't know, like, whether you can get to this summer and just try to plug away, and maybe you can't get a deal done before the deadline. And maybe, again, if you're Vivek Ranadive, you're saying, you know what, we'll address this as soon as the season's over. Whatever that is, we'll address this. We're not going to address it now because this guy aren't going to be here anymore, and we're not mm-hmm. going to let them make that decision. We're going to make someone else will come in here and make that decision. And if you don't want to work with that person, that's fine. We'll figure out the spot for you to land this summer. Mm-hmm. That's how you can keep him through the season. And then maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe you do something grandiose that changes everything. Sure. It's just really, really difficult to see that happening.
Yeah, it feels like burying your head in the sand. And pretending like, oh, no, hang on, this isn't actually happening. Watch, we're just going to get to the summer. Everything's going to be fine. We're just going to plug away. And maybe they do. I thought it was going to be a disaster when they fired Mike Brown, and they've gone 11-4 since. They look like a different basketball team. So I could be way off base again here. Wouldn't be the first time. Literally.
Yeah, but if we get to February 6th, February 7th, and this situation has not been resolved, and there is nothing that's happened, and you're a deer caught in the headlights, there's going to be some people clearing out their office at that point, I believe.
Yeah, I would think so too.
There's no reason to have an assistant GM and a GM sitting there running the front office from that point until the end of the season. There's really what you got. Somebody's going to have to write a contract for Isaac Jones to upgrade him from a 2-way contract. Okay.
ChatGPT's got you.
Well, so does the attorney that flew to Europe and helped you get the Sasha Vezenkov done. And Martina Kolokotronis, yeah. Like, they have other people that can write the contract.
Sure.
So, like, what are we doing here? Like, if you get through this deadline and we're still in the same situation, this holding pattern, I can't imagine that people will keep their jobs then. That moment.
Right.
Like, go ahead and float through the end of the season, or go ahead and bring in the next guy.
Yeah.
Right then. Go pay the money, whatever it is, to go get the guy that you want mm-hmm. and go pay the next guy to come in. I mean, we saw it with, what was it, Chris Finch, right, with Minnesota. They just paid a whole bunch of money
mm-hmm.
to get the guy out of his deal to become the new head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all right, this is the guy. This is what we're doing. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think if you get to Feb 6 and nothing has happened, after all the buzz about Cam Johnson, after all the buzz about John Collins, and now you've got
the Fox situation?
De'Aaron Fox not asking out. Or whatever he's doing. He's not requesting a trade, but he's not requesting one. Yeah, I don't think he can move forward with this front office for sure, but maybe the Kings just got, like, maybe the Kings as a team galvanize around that.
Mm-hmm.
Galvanize? Yeah, galvanize around that.
Yeah.
And maybe they make a run, and maybe they go to the conference finals with the roster that they have, and, okay, they lose in the conference finals, but man, what a run. And now all of a sudden the new front office comes in and goes, hey, this is a team that went to the conference finals. Like, that's on the table. And the reason I say it's on the table is because I thought they'd be closer to 4-11 than 11-4 in the first 15 games after Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And they proved me wrong there. So maybe they prove me wrong again. But it's just, I'm with you, man. If you're now calling the Jazz about John Collins, you can't do that. Because now you're giving up assets to go get a player who may or may not, like, now you have John Collins and you're still potentially trading De'Aaron Fox. And you're probably giving up assets to get John Collins.
Well, that, and it's the $26 million owed John Collins next year that becomes like a huge issue. You're like, okay, it's one thing to know that we're going into the season with this roster and this mm-hmm. build. Mm-hmm. And knowing that the next year we're going to have not only De'Aaron Fox's new contract kick in after the 1 year of John Collins,
mm-hmm.
but you're also going to have Keegan Murray's contract kick in after that. Mm-hmm. So losing John Collins, $26.5 million would be part of business.
Yeah.
Like whether he sticks around, he decides to take a lesser deal or whatever, that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's how you know, I repeat this all the time, the Jerry Reynolds, like if you have a 5 year plan, you have no plan at all. But you at least have to have a 2 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You have to understand where your salary is growing and where they're,
right.
You know,
you have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
But you have to have an idea of where you're headed this year and next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
At minimum.
Well, and it's also why you signed DeMar DeRozan to a 2 year deal with a 3rd year team option, because you didn't know what that summer was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that this team is going to be able to go out there and sign a bunch of free agents with De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan and player X, Y, and Z off the books, like, good luck with that. Good luck. That's why you have to, like, again, a trade.
And
it has to be young players, and it's got to be really, really good picks right now if you're doing it.
I saw somebody in the chat on youtube.com/ESPN1320 earlier be like, oh, people are going to burn their De'Aaron Fox jerseys. I don't think they are. Maybe some people, that's where their anger will be directed, but I think every 95% of people understand that all of this circles back to inaction from the front office. Dating back to... So they go and they trade Tyrese Haliburton. Let's start there. You trade Tyrese Haliburton because you know what? The Tyrese Haliburton, De'Aaron Fox pairing wasn't going to work. I just was not going to allow either player to maximize what they were.
Well, that, and you were changing assets. You needed a big man to pair with either one of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so you trade Tyrese Haliburton, you bring in Domantas Sabonis, great. Now you put yourself on this path. The 22-23 season happens. Holy smokes, they're back. Then you did nothing. You brought in Chris Duarte, but you largely did nothing. Okay, you're trying to run it back. I guess I see the vision. Then you got to that trade deadline, and it was very clear, okay, we're in the 23-24 season now. You get to last year's trade deadline, still nothing. And then this offseason, you go get DeMar DeRozan. Okay, great. Roster's better. DeMar DeRozan helps. It insulates you from a Malik Monk injury, which killed you last year. You're bringing in a Hall of Famer, a veteran, this 6-time All-Star and an All-NBA guy and one of the best mid-range producers of all time. Great, bring him in here. You start slow. You fire the head coach. And now you've gotten closer to the trade deadline after having a meeting with De'Aaron Fox's representation where they said, hey, let's get a move on here.
Do it.
Do something.
Yes.
And now we're going to Brooklyn. Okay, Cam Johnson's there. He's sitting out. Kevin Herter's sitting out. Let's get this deal done. And you leave Brooklyn, and Cam Johnson's still in Brooklyn. And it's, hang on. There's a plan B. We got John Collins. And I think it's less that you can't get a deal done with Brooklyn. It's that it's over protections. De'Aaron Fox and his representation don't give a damn about your 2029 protections.
Nope.
They wanted a deal to get done. And nothing happened. And now nothing's happened with John Collins.
And
now somebody calls about De'Aaron, and you called De'Aaron Fox's representation?
That day, the same day you didn't get the Cam Johnson deal done, you called them and...
I need it to be clear. This is my stance, and I don't want to speak for you. If you agree with me, fine. If you don't, please let me know. But that's why this is on the front office, man. I'm not going to put it on De'Aaron Fox and De'Aaron Fox's camp to go, I'll stick it out. You can do that, sure, but you might just be Dame Lillard. You might just wind up being a 35-year-old who's like, hey, or 34-year-old, whatever he is, and go, all right, fine, I'll ask for a trade now.
Yeah.
I'm not putting the onus on the player to stick it out, because it's very clear that if the Kings got an offer to trade De'Aaron Fox, okay.
Peace out. I mean, we heard Tyrese Haliburton cry about his trade from Sacramento for a year.
Yeah.
Maybe even two.
Yeah.
Like, players get traded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have any problems with Fox and the way he's handled this either. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the way that it's going to end here and the way, like, it's dramatic and it's crazy, but, like, I mean, this is the same franchise that I had guaranteed. Like, I broke the news that DeMarcus Cousins was getting a $219 million extension.
Mm-hmm.
That was ironclad. I went to every single person involved in the deal and made sure that it was a thumbs up. It was happening. I left no stone unturned. Agents, player, front office member,
mm-hmm.
PR staff, everybody, everyone knew the deal was done. And they traded him 2 weeks later. So, like, look, like, these things happened, but, man, this is a wild situation. Like, get the guy some help.
You have to.
Or, like,
at this point.
Well, now it's too late.
It may
late.
Not be enough.
Yeah, now it's too late.
Chris kept saying, toothpaste is out of the tube.
Yeah, what a great descriptor.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You ever try to put toothpaste back in a tube? You can't do it.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
Did someone try that? It seems to me, if you squeeze out too much toothpaste, you go, you wash it off.
Okay, so as
who's
somebody...
Who's ever gone, like, I need to get this back in the tube?
The toothpaste
is... insane. Don't do that.
Toothpaste is one thing, but as somebody who burns like crazy, I mean, you always try to sometimes put some of the sunscreen that you... back in the tube, but that's different, right? Toothpaste is a different story.
Kenny Caraway in the building. D-Lo and KC coming up next.
I've never tried to put toothpaste back in the tube, but that's only because people have always told me you can't do it. So I've never tried it.
Yeah.
I've never tried any type of device to do that. Have you ever tried to put, this isn't like difficult, people can actually do it, but the string back into a hoodie or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can actually do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not easy, but like toothpaste.
Awesome. My wife does it actually fairly easily.
Okay.
I'm surprised. It's kind
of, that's a...
It's a talent.
You can make that a business.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's a
restringing
sign. You put
hoodies.
a
coat hanger,
that or like a even a clipper, something really skinny
mm-hmm.
on the end of one of the strings.
Yeah,
and you just feed it through that way, and it goes pretty seamless.
Wow,
it's actually very impressive.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's not like putting toothpaste in a bag. into the tube.
Strings out of the hoodie. You know, what are you going to do?
Strings out of the hoodie.
I think, hey, you know what? You know what? That's where I think this De'Aaron Fox thing is right now. It's not toothpaste out of the tube. It's string out of the hoodie.
Mm.
Like, it's going to be tough, but it's going to take some doing to get the string back into the hoodie.
That's a really,
that
really
a good one.
Yeah,
that
there
thanks.
We go.
Thanks.
There
we
is.
Can run with that. Hey, clip that for social.
I'm with you. How do we get the string back in the hoodie? Oh,
try to go viral.
Like, check. Muscle. Okay. 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 Can I get the string back in the hoodie?
We're good. We're good. Sign the extension.
Wait. That does remind me. We do have a code word that we forgot to give out yesterday. So you can get a hoodie.
Yeah. You can win the hoodie. Is it the one you're wearing? It's the one James is wearing right now. You can win that hoodie. It's the only way you can get it.
Go to ESPN1320.com right now, and the code word is...
Trade.
Trade. T-R-A-D-E.
Nice and easy.
Trade.
Yeah, we got caught up with stuff yesterday, but trade is the code word, ESPN1320.com.
And you get put in a drawing for a $50 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube and, of course, one of our insider hoodies. Sorry.
Which are brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Show us the logo. Nope, other side. There you go. Bang, bang.
Patch. I like
Boom.
The patch. I'm a
yeah,
fan of the
that's
patch.
Sick.
Boom.
Yeah. Side patch.
No doubt. Salute to Jiffy Lube.
All right,
we
sorry.
Love them very
go ahead.
Much.
No, I wasn't saying. I was listening.
I just... Kenny, now you talk. I don't know. No, you guys brought this up yesterday, and it was something I had not even thought about. You guys did a great job yesterday, by the way.
Thank
I really enjoyed the program.
Appreciate both of you guys.
If you were a betting man, do you think De'Aaron has played his last game at Golden One? Or is he still on the team February 5th when they're at home against Orlando?
If I am a betting man, which I have known to be.
Well.
I'm going to say he plays another home game as a Kings player in Golden One, which means he'll be here for the rest of the season.
Mm.
But I'm not, I'm like 55-45 on that one.
The more this goes on, the more I lean toward he gets traded.
I'm like also, yeah.
The longer this goes without something happening to push it the other way, It's like the ball's rolling. This isn't moving individually. Like the ball is just moving, and there's nothing stopping it moving it back the other way.
They had a way to me, I was listening to the interview with Chris Biederman. Shout out to you guys. So thumbs down to Ohio State. But
ouch.
but
shots fired.
But yeah, he had an opportunity to dead all this, and he didn't. He didn't.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly my takeaway.
Yep. He could have said, I want to be here. You know, this is a bunch of talk. Like, I'm committed. He didn't.
Yep.
All he said was, I didn't demand a trade. Okay. Like, yeah. All right.
And that's a problem with some of the stuff
I have with Rese on Twitter all night. Like, yes, no, you're right. You literally didn't say trade me.
Right.
That doesn't mean things aren't put into motion.
Right.
So he had opportunity to dead all this. He chose not to.
Yeah. What was the wording? I had it up and then closed it. De'Aaron Fox's agent, Rich Paul, this is according to Sam Amick. De'Aaron Fox's agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, recently sent word that it would be wise for the Kings to move him now.
Hmm. There's so many words you can use to demand a trade. Like, there's so many ways that you can say it without actually doing it so you don't get in trouble.
Okay, so
can you lightly suggest a trade?
My prediction is there's a good chance he'll be on the team on that February 5th. Mm-hmm. He won't play. I don't think he will be in the building, and I think he will be traded by the next morning.
Mm. Mm.
That would be my guess. I'm just like, I think it's a good thing that the Kings are inundated with trade offers right now.
Yeah,
I call like baloney. Like, I think enough people around the league know exactly what's going to happen here. I think he will end up in San Antonio. I think they will give up a mint for him, but it will be because there's all of these other options out there. And the Kings can just say, hey, we're just going to hold on to him, and he seems more than willing to play, and we're just going to hold on to him. And if you guys want to work this out with him in a year and a half, that's fine. But for right now, we're going to do what's best for us. Mm-hmm. But
and that might be what's best for the Kings might just be keeping him through the summer, until the summer.
Yeah, but I'm going to guess that San Antonio is going to go, okay, fine. We'll just do we'll give up the offer that you want. And like, look, people are saying, oh, they won't give up Castle. They won't give up Sell. Like, man.
Bet they would.
They're going to reset that roster around De'Aaron Fox and around Victor Wembanyama. And
this is when it comes to, maybe, and I might be naive here. I'm not covering the Spurs, so I could be super wrong. This is not the Rockets where they're like second in the West. This is a 20-23 team. You're asking to give up players.
Right.
They're trying to accelerate a rebuild. They're not sitting there going, oh, let's wait and see what we have with Stephon Castle and Jeremy Sochan.
Yeah.
Well, that and they're taking in a player that's going to be there for the next 6 years after this year.
Right.
Like, he's going to sign the extension and be there. Right. And he can sign the extension if he gets traded. If he just signs as a free agent, that's going to cost him a ton. And that would require the Kings, like, if you want to do a sign and trade to get him his fifth year and all that stuff. Yeah. Either way, it would not be great for him.
I've warmed up a little bit more to a Spurs trade over the night.
Okay.
I still want to see, like, I got to watch some film on Stephon Castle, who I like, but I want to see more of him. Mm-hmm. But I've warmed up to it a little bit.
Okay.
They got a lot of good assets.
What do you mean? He's untouchable, according to every Spurs fan.
Well, yeah. I was about to say
like,
something, but
like,
I
I'm sure.
Flag.
No, I'm sure. Look, here's, I'm sure the Spurs want to, and I understand the Spurs fans want to be like, well, you can have one of Stephon Castle or Devin Vassell. Mm. And I'm sure that's like, that makes sense.
Vassell is the salary matching.
Yeah, right.
Going to have to pay Fox. And I don't know if you've seen Vassell's contract. It's long, and it's $27 million a year. It's not a cheapie.
No, I take it. I don't want Jeremy Sochan, though.
Like, you're out?
I don't like his game.
Oh, okay. I like his game.
I do, too.
I mean, he does a lot Jeremy of good things. But
as your eighth guy? Seventh, eighth guy? I feel pretty good about Jeremy Sochan.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool. Like, if you got to take him in a trade, that's cool, but I'm not crazy about him.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. A lot of Sixers-Kings talk?
Yeah, the Sixers are trading for De'Aaron Fox, sure.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. They'll keep the conversation going. It's always a good time. Can't wait to hear from them. That's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jiffy Lube's the sponsor, and we're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Woo!